I like Kevin was saying, I want to thank you for your prayers. It's been quite a journey for us past 3 months, in out of hospitals and specialists and everything, trying to find out what on earth is wrong with me. Actually, I could tell you a few things, but it's completely different. But right through my illness, there's been a chapter that really spoke to me, and it's been quite a challenge to find out what God was really saying. And it's Psalm 23. But I just want to lay the foundation this morning about milestones. Do you know what a milestone is? I remember when I was a kid, coming in for Peterhead, with my granny Jeannie, and my granny used to sing all the way to Peterhead and all the way back. We used to, I'd be in the car, Mark, Paul and David in the back, to my Auntie Jay says, and I was the first to see the milestones coming out of Brough. There's a 3 mile milestone, and there's a 1 mile milestone. And just a little wee stone about a tie and a grass verge. Before there used to be big road signs, there had been the milestones. And I just want to speak about milestones. Why are milestones in our life, do we? First steps. First day at school. Falling in love. Getting exam results. Passing your test. All these things are milestones. Getting married, having the first kid. All these things are milestones in life. Eh? And they make up who we are. But there's also spiritual milestones. There's the first time God spoke to you. And you thought, wow, I really need him in my life. Milestones moments. It's not just about coming to church and you think, wow, this is amazing. This is what I need in life. That's a milestone moment. Being baptized. That's a milestone moment. Yeah? These are the spiritual milestone moments. And as you can, I went to the Philippines 3 months ago, and I got a bite. Bacteria went in my body and traveled through my body, and I was such a mess. And I remember, just before I went to one holiday, lying for Rhoda's, I couldn't sit, just lying on that sofa, just totally in total agony. And I actually remember coming all the way up here and grab a plaque for winning a prize, okay? Evil. I'm walking in front of Abdi, just in agony, smiling. But Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he restores my soul." And the part that really haunted me ever since I got the bite was this, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And it's really been, Lord, what are you saying to me in that? Right through for the first day in hospital, a total peace that everything was getting under control, that God was still there, everything. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that really mean? And to understand what it means, I really wanted to be like a Inspector Columbo. Mind Columbo? Get to the facts. If it was a shepherd that David saw, it wasn't a shepherd going about in a 4x4 defender and 2 sheepdogs in the back. It was 3,000 years ago. And it wasn't that Jesus was a shepherd, because Jesus came 1,000 years after him. He's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, the whole thing, that whole chapter, hinges on the Lord is my shepherd. It hinges on relationship. If you'd not had the relationship with the Lord being your shepherd, the whole rest of that chapter is void for your life. And to qualify, the Lord has got to be our shepherd. If he's your shepherd, we can go through one thing in life. Whether it be hospitals, whether it be specialists, whether it be unemployment or bereavement, when the Lord is your shepherd. What a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? And I need to understand, I says, Lord, I need to understand, what does a shepherd look like to David? And the shepherd was more nomadic back then. And they would wander, looking for grass that grew. And the shepherd would go ahead of his sheep sometimes, and the sheep would follow him. Sometimes he would go beside the sheep. Sometimes he would go behind the sheep. And the shepherd was always there with the sheep. He didn't go out his house at night. But the shepherd was there with the sheep 24 hours a day. He would never leave their side. Sometimes the shepherd's job was a wee bit boring. Because as you didn't spend your life with sheep. So they used to play stupid games. I've done a lot of research. They used to play stupid games. Ken. The shepherd would just bolt as hard as he could. And the sheep would run towards him. And he would stop and he'd sit, and there would be a big celebration. The sheep would start jumping and leaping and everything. Because the shepherd knew the sheep. And the sheep knew the shepherd. And sometimes it seems as though God's running away ahead of us. And it seems as though we're left alone. But God just saying, just catch me. I want you to catch me. I want you to anticipate me, catching me again. I never left you. I just went ahead of you. I'm just preparing for you. Come on. Because I want it to be a celebration of when you're well again, Paul. I want it to be a celebration of our relationship when you're well again, Paul. I haven't left you. I'm there. I'm watching over you. I might be a wee bit ahead, but I'm looking out for you. That's a shepherd. Sometimes a shepherd, and as it came doing at night, the shepherd would take a sheep to this place. It would just be a size just for the fold. And it wouldn't be a high, it wouldn't be a high fence or anything like that. It was just going to be a couple of stones high, almost in a circle. And the only space that was left in that circle was a space for a shepherd. The sheep was totally protected in their minds because they felt as though there was a warning about them. And the only way into that fold in the sheep's minds was the shepherd, through the shepherd. And it seems as though that we're in a fold. And we've just got to accept that the shepherd is there. He's our watchman in the night. He's our protector. He never sleeps. But sees darkness is coming down. And shepherd's got all the sheep in the fold, and he's put doing the matting, they put doing bedding for the sheep before they come in. It's at that moment, as he's sitting, if there's a hard day's craft, that he takes out his harp and he starts playing songs. He starts singing the songs to the sheep, stilling them. And his Skeffit Bible says, the Lord rejoices over us with singing. Cannot. We could be in agony. We can be in pain. And we could be just saying, Lord, I'm in a sheep's fold, but I'm just so sore. Do you get something? He just sings over us. And if we get a picture, at times that we are tired, how darkness seems to be coming down in our lives, just picture the shepherd. Just picture God just coming inside you and saying, Lord, it's going to be all right, Paul. And then songs come to my mind, and I start singing. I start saying, Lord, I love you. And I join in with him, because I've got a relationship with my shepherd. How about you? And sometimes, bears come, lions come. We're getting this in the Bible for David went to Saul. Do we? And Saul says, put on my armor and you can fight Goliath. And David says, no. He says, this is not mine. This is not me I'm putting on. This is somebody else. I've got to be myself in this situation. When the bear came and when the lion came, I took up my sling and I defended my sheep. And sometimes we think that we've got to do other defending in life. Okay, the battle's the Lord's, but I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And I remember going to my bed one Monday night after going to work because I thought I'd been healed. Again, I thought, get medication, get healed, nothing like that. And get my bed at night and collapsing in my bed and saying, I can't get out of this bed again. And for 5 days, just lying in my bed, just hidden the energy or nothing, just to get out of my bed and get to the toilet. And I realized, Lord, you're making me lie down. You're making me lie down. It was there that it was like a eureka moment. There's times in our lives that we need to lie down. We need to rest. We need to stop fighting against things. And we just need to say, God, I know a clue what's going on in my body. I know if this is it centered in me. But Lord, I'm lying down. I'm claiming your peace. I'm stopping. And if there's supposed to be 7 days, but if there's 5 days, I get up my bed and think, that's it. That's me healed. I've done my time. I'm ready for work. But no, I end up in hospital. And I say, Lord, you're making me lie down again. And I went on to YouTube and I typed in how to make sheep lie down in green pastures. And you can deep in him. And a shepherd comes up and I go, and he says, I'm gonna teach you how to make a sheep lie down. And give me a name for a sheep, I can sheep names. Huh? Dolly the sheep. Nick loaned. Right? Dolly, he says, here's Dolly. This is my sheep. My sheep was unwell. He says, she went onto the ground and she was dying. And she says, unless I did something really quick, I'll lose my sheep. He says, so I got to make her lie down. And I had to force her to lie down. So he got behind the sheep and put his arms around about the sheep and picked the sheep. And this was on the ground. And he laid back and grabbed the sheep like that. And he says, that sheep hated me at a minute in time. But she was dying. He says, and I took bicarbonated soda and water and poured it down the sheep's neck, right down its throat. And he says, and whatever the blockage was, cleared. And it saved the sheep's life. And sometimes, God has got to make us lie down. He's got to put his arms around about us. And we could be wriggling and squirming and screaming. See, this situation's wrong, Lord. That's an attack of the enemy. I just want to pray against this. And Lord is saying, I'm going to make you lie down. I am your Lord. I am your King. I am in charge of this situation. And sometimes, and me being a workaholic, again, working odd hours of the day, I said, Paul, my hand is upon you, and I'm going to force you to lie down. How about you? How about the situations that you face in life? Are you just seeing them as attacks of the enemy? Or are you sometimes we need to see them as a hand of God? He said, look, Paul, you've got to lie down, whether you like it or lump it, because I need to teach you something. I need to teach you something. And then you remind me of this, Joshua 4. If it happened in Joshua 4, was this. Well, if it happened in Joshua, at the start of Joshua, was Moses was dead. And Joshua hears a voice of God and says, Joshua, you're the new kiddie. You're the new man. You've got to lead Israel into everything I promised Moses. So Joshua gets the guys together. They step into the Jordan. The Jordan is in full bursting, overflow. It's the rainy season. And as soon as the Ark of the Covenant goes into the Jordan, the water's 25 miles upstream stops. And there's something about that I just want to share with you. When God says to step into your Jordan, when God says to, I want you to step into a situation and you step in, whether it be a new job, whether it be a new career, or whatever it is, and he says, step in. Go in faith. Quit your job. Quit your job at Sunday Brepo. That's what he says to me. I've got something more for you. I've got a new area for you. And I quit, not even caring if it was going to be Dean next. I didn't know I was going to be called to the Philippines. I stepped into that Jordan. And little did I know that 25 miles upstream, as it were, set off a chain reaction in heaven. And sometimes when we step into situations, And we say, Lord, I'm doing it through faith. I'm doing it through as a statement of faith. I'm stepping into a situation. You've led me. You've guided me. I kind of see what the outcome is, but I'm stepping into this anyway. A chain reaction set off in heaven. How long does it take for water, 25 miles in upstream water, to pass you by? You see, you're stepping into a situation, and it seems as though nothing is happening. Lord, I've stepped into a situation, and nothing is happening. The water's still flowing. I still can't see a way through. You promised me that we've got to take me through the other side, that you've got blessings for my life and all these things. But nothing's happening. The water's going. And all of a sudden, the chain reaction gets you. And all of a sudden, the water starts receding. 25 miles of water passed by, and nothing happened. And then it turned to dry land. And then something significant happens, that all the Israelis going through the other side. And then Joshua said this, and I never realized this until I read it again. Joshua turns round and says, now, choose one man from each tribe, and make him go back into the middle of that river and take out a dry stone. And take a dry stone and make a memorial, make a milestone, make a memorial. And when your children asks, what does this stones mean? You will say, this is God's deliverance. That's what stones mean. And you can, some things in life happens. And we need to make a milestone out of them. We need to make a point of remembrance in our lives or that milestone, that memorial stones. Because God wants to stick something out of the situations we're going through. See, that hurt and that pain and all that things that we've been through, my sickness. I realize that all things work together for good to them who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm a testimony. I've got specialists to see in the morning and doctors to see. I'm not out of the woods yet. But even so, I've been through to be a testimony of God's faithfulness. God's faithful. I'm no longer lying in agony and kind of sit for 3 months. I'm healed today. Now, I didn't care about the morn. I didn't care about the next day. But for 8 days, I've been healed. To 10 days. That's a milestone because it used to be every 5 days. It would come back. So I didn't care if I've been totally healed. But I can say this. My God is faithful. My God delivers me. He takes me through. And when I'm in the sheepfold and I get all excited and like that, he says, Paul, didn't I make me have to make you lie down again? Trust me. Trust me. Did you trust him this morning? Did you trust him with your health? Did you trust him with your finances? Or have you got to try and get anything worth to it in your mind? That you must do this, like me. I've got all these jobs I've got to do before the end of the year. I've got to go in my life because I can. There's key things in my life I need to put to death. Huh? And one of them is that workaholic. Okay, I've never taken a day off. I've got to take time. He makes me lie down. I've got to claim that because that's my personal verse. If it's your personal verse, is the Lord speaking to you about in your life today? Because the Bible says, my God is never silent. Do you ken his word? Do you ken his word for your life? Can you go and say about Joshua, about the life of Joshua, about the life of David, about the life of Moses? And this is why I'm so excited about our home groups, our home churches. Ken, we need to be participating. It's not about just one guy up here like me or Kevin or Fit speaking and you guys never speak. We need to learn to speak these things out in our lives. That when our children ask us, Mom, Dad, this happened in your life. Why did that happen? You can say, these are a memorial in my life. And these stones are testimony. What I'm going to tell you, these words are testimony to God's faithfulness. And I never want you to forget that God has been faithful to us as a family. We had nothing, now with this, and We really struggled financially, and now God's blessed us with that. Your dad was sick, and now he's healed him. And all these things, these are so important, guys, that we pass these stories on. And that's why God says to Joshua, go back into the river and take out the stones, that these stones might be a memorial of what I have done in this generation. Are you passing on the memorial stones in your life to your kids? Am I passing on the memorial stones? The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And it's there. He leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. You see, God, the option two with the shepherd was this. That was option one. He makes me. Yeah, he forces me. He stills me. I can't get out of his grip. And he says, the option number two is, here's Gertrude, if her name is. And she was just absolutely, says, she's just blissful. She's just blissfully just chomping a water grass, as they do, again. Chomping like a camel, it looked like. Just chomping a grass, and he says, it was just in the coolness of the day, just lying willfully. And give it the word is, I was listening to this rabbi to try to find out what the actual word meant, was that he makes me lie down. The actual word used was to sprawl out, to stretch out, to just completely chill out in green pastures. That's where I would rather be. Option two, just to enjoy the moment. Eh? Instead of getting worked up and near killing myself, I need to enjoy the moment. How about you? How about the situations that you're going through, that we're all going through in life? Are we too busy worrying about it and getting excited about it? Or are we just saying, Lord, you're my shepherd and you're in control. I didn't need option two. I need option one. I need option two in my life. I need your peace that passes understanding. Whether I'm in a hospital bed, whether I'm working, whether I'm at school, whether I'm in college, no matter how far I'm at, Lord, I need to hear your peace in my life. You see, that whole psalm speaks about the peace of God. How's your peace level today? How are you? Total peace. Is there areas in your life that it seems as though the wolves are coming in to destroy? Is there areas of your life it seems as though there's no hope? See, you can be in the middle of the biggest storm and still have his peace. We serve an amazing God. But he doesn't want to be your God only. He wants to be your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's why he made you. He made you because, and he made you. He made me like a worker because he wants to have a relationship with me. Huh? He put giftings and talents within me, put giftings and talents within you. Why? Because he wants to use that giftings. He wants to use that talents. He wants to be part of your life. He doesn't want to become a zombie and come out of church in and out, in and out, in and out. No, he wants to have a personal relationship with you every single day, every single moment. How is your relationship with your shepherd? Huh? How is your peace levels? You see, when I was in hospital, I came out of hospital, and counting the days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you know, a special medication. Thinking, this is it. I was told this has got to be the medication, it's got to solve out all the problems. Nothing will ever come back for us. Day 6 happened, and it came back. I had a decision to make. And then I thought in this. You see, this is why it's so vital to know your Bible. This is why it's so vital to know the stories, because it's the stories that gives me strength. It's a memorial stones of Joshua. It's a memorial stones of Moses. It's a memorial stones of Daniel. Now these guys in the Bible that went through things in life, it can testify to the faithfulness of God. And I says to myself, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I says, Lord, I ain't got a clue what's happening. But these three didn't bow. This is, we will not bow to our situation because God will deliver us. And even though he doesn't, we still want to bow. You see, I want to let the situation rob me from my relationship with my God. And even though this thing comes back, I still will not bow. Because my God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God is greater than any sickness that comes in my body. And though it ravages my body, and I cannot do what I want to do, I will still say, Lord, you are my God, and you are my King, your provider. And even though I'm not here, you might provide for my family. That's how serious it is. You see, because my relationship with God isn't about all the things he gives me. My relationship with God is who he is to me. Who is he to you? Is he only your good God in the good times? Does your relationship and how good and nothing is with God only way up in the good times? So if things go Pete Tom in your life, if things go wrong, you walk away. Suck it, I'm had it enough with church. It's not church you're hurting, it's God. It's God you're turning your back on. It's your good shepherd. The Lord that laid down his life for his sheep. That's why you're turning your back with you. You see, it's not Jesus, it's our Lord. Because Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to who? The Father, except through me. Jesus is pointing towards the Father. And my relationship is not just with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. My relationship is with my Father, my Heavenly Father. And it's a bigger subject, but it means so much more to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Get something. This is the first major storm I've ever went through with health. I can't, it might be mere. One day, each one of us walking through a storm. With health, bereavement, with unemployment, with all these things. Get the kind of shepherd now. Get the relationship right now. He will provide for you. He'll see you through. And I'm testament here. I didn't care about tomorrow. But today, I'm standing and totally pain-free, first time in 3 months. And I'm not going to run in circles anymore. And even though this comes back, I will still praise him. How about you? How's your relationship with the Lord? Do you ken him? Is he your friend? Or is he just a God that you attend on a Sunday? Sing some songs. Guys, we need to ken him as he truly is. He's a friend who sticks closer than only a brother. He sees you through the highest of waves and the lowest of waves. Through the ups and downs of life. He's the constant. He never changes. He's always there. He's always ready. Do not walk away from him when the storms come. But hey, go into the sheepfold and say, Lord, you got to protect me. Get to ken the Bible verses. Get to ken the stories. How these guys made it through in life. David, Daniel, all these guys of the Old Testament. I just love that story because these guys made it. And their weaknesses are all laid out in the Bible. And I've got some of the same weaknesses. Huh? And I need to learn from their mistakes. So I just want to thank you for listening this morning. But maybe you're here this morning. And you didn't ken the shepherd in the way I've been sharing. Maybe you need a little Lord in your life. In a real way. I remember being 21 in the Assemblies of God in Queen's Road. And I asked God in my life when I was like 8 years old. But really, it was just like asking to be part of a club. And I didn't have any relationship. And it scared me because I realized that when we go to heaven, it's not just about asking God into our lives, but it's if he really knows us. The Bible says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's about relationship. And I says, Lord, I need you to come into my life in a real, real way. I don't want religion anymore. I want you. And you can something. That was the moment that changed the whole course of my life. It's not about just asking Jesus in your heart. It's about having the relationship. It can go on for that. How's your relationship this morning? We just bow our heads. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. For your words are truth. And your words are life. And Lord, I just pray in my brokenness this morning that life will come. And Lord, as you've spoken your words this morning, Lord, as I've tried to share my story, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help us in our weakness, Lord. Lord, and I just pray for anybody here this morning that maybe doesn't care you in this sort of way I've shared this morning, Lord. It's just maybe coming along to church. Lord, I just pray that you'll help him. You'll help him in this moment. And if you're here this morning, and you've just been coming along, and you don't really ken the Lord this morning, but there's something resonated within your heart about what I've shared, and you need to ask God into your life for the first time, and say, Lord, I really need this relationship Paul's speaking about. There's things in my life that I really need to sort out. Just put up your hand and I'll see it. And I want to share, I want to just spend a few minutes with you after the service and just pray with you. We're going to be here this morning. It just needs God to come into our life in a real way. As you've got as a religion. No, it's great. Maybe you're here this morning. And like me, you've been struggling with situations. And you've been like sheep option number one. You've been fighting against things. And you try to fight things in your own strength. And God's just spoke to you this morning. And said, let me be Lord of your life. I just want to challenge you, just while you're at, I don't want to see your hands. Just open up your heart to him and say, Lord, this thing's just daunt me. This thing's just going through me. But Lord, I'm determined right this minute, right this very moment, you are my shepherd. You look out for me. You protect me. You've got to be with me. And you're never going to let me go. And Lord, I just claim that in my life right now. That I'm making through these doors with your peace. That I might not be hearing the barking and the taunts of the enemy in my life any longer. But Lord, I claim my freedom. For you are my refuge. And you are my king. I just want to thank you for listening, folks. It's been great to share, and I shared in about a year. A wee bit rusty. But I've just shared my heart this morning. And I pray that as we start our home churches, as we start getting used to just sharing memorial stones of our life, it wouldn't be about one person on a stage just sharing his story. But you will share your stories to forever God entrusts you to speak till. That you might pass on, as it were, the batons of faith. That you might pass on the stones to your kids And you might share the goodness of God to a dark world. Oh, guys, we're surrounded by so much darkness. As you go back to your work, there's folk that's getting divorced, there's folk getting this, there's folk getting the next thing. Again, you have a story. You are the light. You are a carrier of the light of the world. Huh? You have got stories to tell. And I just pray that we go from strength to strength. That we become participators of sharing the gospel. It's not within these four walls, but it's out there. As we start speaking out, as we start vocalizing the goodness of God. Amen.